Tonight on the Goblin's Corner, Eaters of the Dead.
Ghouls and Guests.
That's how we roll. 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 That's how we
roll. Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
Eaters of the Dead.
Yeah, Ghouls and Guests. This was a fun episode we conceptualized because Ghouls and Guests have been around since D&D's been around.
Sure.
If not longer, which you'll find out in a bit. But also, we surprisingly did not find as much information on Ghouls and Guests that, honestly, I assumed we were going to find. We both learned something, and it's that there's not much going on with these guys. But
well, not with one of them.
From a lore perspective.
Right.
But that being said, we did find out that there's a lot of really cool stuff that you can do to spice up your game with some ghouls and ghasts and have a better game.
Yep. And that's what we're doing. We're talking about monsters that maybe don't get quite as much of a spotlight as perhaps they should.
Much like our kobolds and goblins episode previously.
Exactly.
But before we get to that, Matt, I believe you have a question of the week.
I do.
Hit me.
All right. So you're the big, bad, evil guy.
Big, bad, evil guy. All right.
Yep.
I'm ready for the heroes to approach.
You have an undead exotic pet.
Ooh. Exotic?
Yes.
Okay. I've already got some ideas here.
What is your pet and what type of undead is it?
I would say a skeletal pangolin.
Yeah. No.
No? Or a zombie pangolin would be
better.
Zombie
pangolin.
Zombie pangolin. Because, why? Or a zombie armadillo would be just as good.
Yeah.
Because those of you who don't know, armadillos do carry leprosy.
It's true.
So a zombie armadillo would be just as bad. A pangolin is basically just a big ass armadillo. I don't care what anybody says.
Except they are the only scaled mammal.
Is that really true?
Yes, it is.
That's fascinating. I didn't know that. How did I not know that? All right. Very cool. What's your undead pet? And what type of pet of undead would it be?
All right. So if we're going real world animals, an exotic real world animal. See, what you guys don't know is that I come up with these questions, but I don't always come up with answers until the day of.
And that is very true.
I think I want I'm going to go with a moose ghoul.
A ghoul moose.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Because ghouls are normally depicted as hairless.
Mm-hmm.
And like, can you imagine a gaunt, hairless moose?
With
like,
a tongue that just,
that's just
ends in a tipped point?
Yeah, that sounds awful and I love it.
That sounds wonderful. I would also go for a shadow hummingbird as well.
Nice. That is
nothing but strength damage in tiny little sips.
That is not terrible at all.
Do you have a favorite animal that you would like to have as an undead pet for your big, bad, evil person? Write to us. info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, Eric, at goblinscorner.com, or
me, Matt, at goblinscorner.com.
All right. Let's jump into the meat of this thing, which is particularly ghouls and ghasts.
Yes, sir.
So, first off, let's talk about ghouls, because we have the most information regarding ghouls and what they happen to be.
Yes.
What is a ghoul, Matt?
So ghouls originally begin, as far as I could find, in Arabian myth.
Mm-hmm.
And
G-H-U with the little thingy on it, L.
Right. So there's a lot of variance, even in Arabian myth, as to what exactly a ghoul is.
Yeah, I read that they could either be undead,
right,
demonic.
And actually, undead is the new one. That actually came about later.
Well, they interpreted they were malicious spirits in some folklore.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
So that could potentially be undead. Demonic was another one that came from either some kind of demon or something like that. There was some that they were shapeshifters.
Yep.
And then just some straight up monstrous cannibals.
Sure.
Just nasty ass cannibals that live in cemeteries and out of the way locations.
Yeah. So sometimes they've got magical powers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes not. Sometimes they're just monsters.
So we got a lot of variation between ghouls and what their abilities are and where they come from.
Right.
Now, this could be probably because of folklore and tales. A lot of this was oral history as well. So, you know, your tales may vary.
And translation issues.
Absolutely. I guarantee there's going to be some translation issues in this. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about their powers and maybe some things that they're associated with.
Well, in, I think, more modern times, they're also oftentimes associated with vampires.
Yeah. Vampire the Masquerade had ghouls.
Sure.
And also, well, and in D&D, there's vampires and ghouls kind of go hand in hand in many ways because one eats the dead, one sucks the blood, so.
Right. And, you know, there's no waste that way. Really, a vampire ought to have ghouls around.
Natural recyclers?
Yeah. It's only fair.
Good way to hide the body. In the D&D lore, now, they were stated they were created from the living who tasted the flesh of people and then died. So, cannibals.
Right.
And I always found that to be very interesting in how a ghoul came about in D&D. I really want to know where that came from.
Well, I think in one of the D&D iterations, it was also someone who died of starvation. And that hunger is the hunger that they take with them into unlife.
I like that lore as well. I think there should be various lores.
Sure. There's no reason it can't spawn multiple.
And in fact, there is also some alternate lore, and I can't remember where. I think in the Forgotten Realms, they said that ghouls were created by hedonistic folks, so like people who are just gluttons and you know, love the pleasures of life, which is kind of cool. So I thought that was kind of interesting as well. Of course, worshiping Orcus is another great way to get yourself to become a ghoul,
right?
In D&D lore again,
and Yiganu. I'm not even going to try that again.
The Null God.
Yeah.
The Null God of whatever it is. Yes. Well, he actually, Dorsain was the Lord of Ghouls in the Abyss, and he rolled up on Dorsain and took over.
So
there you have it.
There you go. Know,
a lot of stuff like that. There's a lot of commonalities, though, in how a ghoul operates, though, regardless of whether they're demonic, whether they're spiritual.
Shapeshifters, anything.
Doesn't matter, right? What do? They eat dead.
Yep. And the unwary. They don't care if you're pre-dead.
They're scavengers.
Right.
They're the ultimate scavengers. If they have to run you down, they will. But they're just as happy to, you know, gnaw on a fresh corpse. Sure. Right.
And even a not super fresh corpse.
Dig up a dead body and start chewing on it. Right. In their base form, they have a monstrous appearance.
Yep. And that's true across the board for every type of mythology I could find on them.
Yeah, and now their appearance does change a bit, though. So, if I recall, they were, let's see, they could be corpse-like.
Right.
They could
sometimes
be,
they glowed.
Oh, that's in Fallout.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So, yeah, we'll get to the Fallout ghouls in just a minute, because those are slightly different than the ghouls that you would expect. They generally are hairless, but they could also be hairy, dog-like. Right.
Right.
Many of the times they had enlarged eyes because they were night predators.
Right. And they had claws.
Big teeth.
Sure.
Long, some of them had long tongues that whipped around and stuff like that.
So they're the big bad wolf from Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, essentially.
What big eyes you have. So
now in a lot of the older stories they were basically just scavengers.
Right.
But I mean again, it could be they went from drinking blood. Like the White Wolf ghouls were more blood drinkers than anything else. And actually, they were essentially addicted to drinking the blood of vampires.
Right. But also got powers from the vampires they drank from.
That is correct. Yeah. So a lot of different interesting things you can do with a ghoul as far as how they came about. Now, let's talk about the Fallout ghouls. So the Fallout ghouls are basically human, and we're going to get to the ferals in just a second. But they're horribly radiated. Now, and that was because bomb dropped, right, in the game. What's interesting about the Fallout ghouls is the radiation caused them to basically be immortal. So they live.
Oh, right, right.
All the intelligent ghouls have been kicking around since the bomb dropped in Fallout, which is in their, you know, rotted off their nose, their ears are gone. I mean, they look like fucking ghouls, right?
Right.
And they all kind of talk like they smoked about 6 packs a day.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going? Except for, I can't remember the ghoul's name. He's one of the player characters, or not player character. He's one of the characters that will follow you along in Fallout. And he just did a whole bunch of drugs and became a ghoul.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
I mean, you know, whatever works, right?
That's a great stash.
Now, let's talk about the feral ghouls.
I mean, in fairness.
What?
Keith Richards.
Yes.
So.
He's Keith Richards. God, that makes so much more sense now.
I wonder if that's actually the intent behind the character.
It's totally possible. And I'm going to go look that up now. I love everything about that. Yes, the ghoul from Fallout is Keith Richards. I'm going to fight anybody that says otherwise now. So let's talk about the feral ghouls in Fallout as well. Because again, different type of ghoul. Right. Basically, again, they're pretty much immortal, get healed by radiation, but their mind is just rotted away. So they just are just gnawing on you.
Sure. When their ears went, their brains went out them.
Yep. And then they have a special type of ghoul in, I don't remember if it's the newest Fallout or not, but I know in Fallout 3, there was like the glowing ones, and they actually gave off radiation, and they were even more healed by sitting around nuclear waste.
Sure.
And that was really interesting. And they had this whole thing about them trying to get to a different planet or something like that. So it was a very interesting storyline. I liked that. So ghouls can look very different, right? A lot of different stories, a lot of different weirdness behind those guys. So let's talk about their powers.
In most RPGs, they lose a lot of their mystical type powers from the folklore.
Correct.
Because in some folklore, they can cast illusions and all sorts of different powers because they're either spirits or demonic or what have you. Basically, all they get to keep for most role-playing games, they get a paralysis touch.
They get claws.
They get claws.
They get a bite.
Ghoul fever.
Yeah.
Which, historically, they actually don't get.
Which is interesting. I know that their paralyzing touch has no effect on elves. Because
right.
Dorsain was an elf before he became like the demon lord of ghouls.
Sure.
Yeah, and then ghoul fever was something that they don't often get, but in some editions they had.
Right.
Now, other effects, again, if you're doing White Wolf, ghouls get the abilities of the blood that they drink from vampires.
Right. So if you are a ghoul of a vampire that has potents, maybe you pick up potents, etc., etc.
Correct.
And I've played with that trope, with that concept, in that I had in one of my games a vampire that had a chimpanzee ghoul that took one point of animism to be able to talk to people.
I could see that. So Chim Chim the ghoul. Why not? Yeah, I'm cool with that.
I mean, it was Bobo, but yeah.
Okay, well. But essentially, power-wise, most of them are, we eat stuff, we paralyze you. And then occasionally you get some ghoul fever if you get a scratch.
Sure.
But it should be noted that predominantly, even the White Wolf ones have this all-consuming hunger for something. So
yeah.
For Light ones, they're addicted to the blood.
Right.
It's a consuming hunger for them. And for D&D ghouls, it's a consuming hunger for
flesh.
Flesh. Eat and the flesh, suck the marrow.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's where the good stuff is. You got to crack the bones open.
So that's why we call them eaters of the dead.
Yep.
Now, let's talk a little bit about ghasts.
So, I told you about this. Both of us found this one really interesting. So, ghasts are not stereotypical mythological creatures, it turns out.
Yeah, apparently Lovecraft came up with them.
Yeah. And they
came up with the word.
Right.
And used it interchangeably with ghoul.
Right. Which is why they're tied together in role-playing games.
Correct.
So the ghasts that he created bear basically no resemblance to guess as we know them.
So let's talk about what Lovecraft came up with when he came up with gas. And by the way, we're talking about the story, the Dream Quest of Unknown Caddith.
Yes.
Which is where the first instance of the word gas came from. Now, there may be other instances where gas came from, and if that's true, let us know. But again,
sure, I'm willing to be wrong.
We did as much diligence as a typical Google search would allow us, so it's not like we're talking to scholars of mythology here. We just have our own limited D&D knowledge, and I would say limited, but extensive D&D knowledge.
And I did do more than just click the wiki page. Like I looked into it a bit.
We spent at least 15 minutes getting this information together for you guys. So it's possible we could be wrong. If we're wrong, let us know.
There's a second time for everything.
That's true. All right. So talk to me about these ghasts.
They were the size of small horses, which is really funny because...
That's
how big is a small horse, right? Because you've got the tiny, tiny, like, teacup horses, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think those actually existed at the time.
And he didn't say pony.
He
said small horse.
Right. So I guess theoretically you're talking like the difference between a quarter horse and like a giant draft horse or, wow, my brain.
Mr. Ed horse?
The Budweiser horses.
Clydesdale?
Clydesdale. Thank you. Yeah, those are big horses.
That's the only thing that's my horse knowledge right there.
It helped me out because it was the one I couldn't get a hold of, so I appreciate it.
All I know about horses right there.
And Clydesdale. Done.
And that they bite. I've been bit by horses. I don't like horses.
I love horses. I've never been bitten by one.
They bite.
They just don't like you.
They don't. I don't know why.
Because
they don't like bald men. That's what it is.
Yeah, it is. They're bald phobic.
Yeah. All right. So
okay, moving on.
They're the size of small horses, whatever that metric happens to be.
Right. They hop around on kangaroo-like legs.
Okay.
Okay. So now we've changed the basic shape of them.
Sure.
They had humanoid faces,
mm-hmm.
but with no chin or forehead. So like a
weak jaw, maybe like an overbite. No forehead, so maybe kind of so basically just face.
I can't help but think of like the stereotypical insipid European noble, right? Like the chin.
Very strange. Nothing like any of the modern ghasts that we are familiar with.
Well, no, you would think like lantern jawed, right? Because that is something that didn't change is they still ate the dead, which means you've got to crunch through bone and everything. Like you would think they'd have like for real jaws.
That's very strange. And the biggest difference, and now they still had the stench.
Yes.
And that is where the stench from gas came from.
Right.
Hmm. And it's interesting because modern gas are basically look like humans or humanoid.
Right.
And then they just stink. They're basically smelly ghouls. For the lack of a better word.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really not much difference except they stink. They just funky.
Super funky.
Super funk. Now, other ghasts, and we dug up a little bit more, there's the spirits from Minecraft, if you guys play Minecraft.
Sure.
And Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials, which if you've never read that book, excellent series. They have cliff ghasts, and they're kind of like halflings. Like at least the size of halflings. Okay. They got long leathery wings. They got flat heads, big frog-like mouths, and bulging eyes. But once again, they stink. Got a foul smell.
Got to keep them stinking.
Got to keep them stinking, man. So Lovecraft's gas was really the only really big thing about the gas that he created was that they smell. That's the only similarity that we have with modern.
And they
gas.
Eat the dead.
And they eat. Oh yeah, and the eaters of the dead.
Yep.
So both ghouls and ghasts like to eat dead things.
Yeah. The major difference is ghasts are slightly more intelligent and they stank.
Yep.
Stank.
All right. We're going to get into why ghasts are interesting and maybe how you can beef up your ghast right after these messages.
See you in a second.
If there are any topics you would like us to cover, goods or services you would like us to review, or if you would like to sponsor an episode, we would love for you to contact us at info@goblinscorner.com. See you there.
And we're back.
Welcome back.
All right. So we're talking about these ghasts. We're talking about these ghouls.
Yeah, man.
What makes them interesting to play from both a DM perspective and maybe interesting to fight from a player character perspective?
Well, the first thing you really have to keep in mind is that they are smart enough to make plans and have tactics.
That is correct. And this is something that many DMs don't particularly take advantage of.
Sure.
You know, it's, and I get it. You're having a hard night. Maybe you've worked all week. You have some low-level characters. You know, they're like level 2, level 3. You're going to throw some gas at them, or a ghoul, maybe.
Maybe a ghoul, yeah.
Maybe a ghoul. Yeah, gas are a little bit more powerful. But you're going to throw some, maybe you're pissed off. You're going to throw some gas at them and kill them. Who cares? They're all going to die. But usually, you throw them at them, and they just run straight for them, and then they get slaughtered.
Sure.
At least with our characters, players we play with.
And I get it, right? They are, like, absolutely ravenous creatures.
Yeah, they're hungry.
I get that. But they're smart. They're smart enough not to dive onto a spear.
So they have tactics, and that is something that we should go into, because first off, just because they're dead, just because they're overwhelmingly hungry, doesn't mean they can't plan.
Right. Like, what is a gas that, I mean, pit traps, right? That should be their go-to.
Ambush tactics, pit traps. Yeah, anything, because they don't care if the person dies. They're going to eat them anyway.
Right.
Now, it might be preferable to eat them living and raw, squirming.
Sure, but.
But you can mortally wound someone so that, you know, break both their legs so they can't get away.
Well, and they don't really get a squirming meal very often because, well, paralysis.
That's a good point. Yeah, they do paralyze. In addition to that, they can be reasoned with.
Yeah.
I'll bet you need some strong arm tactics to do that.
I mean, maybe you just need a bag of holding filled with exotic meats. Be like, hey, whoa, guys, I understand you want to eat me, but I've got this whole elephant in here.
I'm sorry. All I could see is these adventurers roll up on this ghast, and they're like, look, man, I know you're funky, but I know you're hungry. So I've got this whole bologna and some of these smoked sausages. Let's have a chat. Maybe we can work together.
Sure, man.
That would be awesome. Oh, God. Like, we should do that sometime in a game. That's hilarious.
Like, if you've got a crypt full of necrotic energy and all you really want is the glowing Nanu at the very bottom of it, right? Like, yeah, I mean, I could go, or
I could give you this entire bear.
We'll
give you this whole bear. Go down there and get that glowing thing for this whole bear.
Yeah.
I'll give you another whole bear.
Yeah, I'll bring extra bears.
I got a portable hole full of bears.
Yep.
Just dead bear. I went hunting last week to get here. I mean, yeah, why wouldn't a ghoul or a ghast not do that?
Right.
Aside from the fact that they're evil.
So?
But sometimes you got to eat,
evil,
man.
Evil is self-serving.
You got to eat.
And he's hungry.
There's not an In-N-Out anywhere in a D&D universe, you know, unless you have our spell McDungeons. So, just saying. So they can be reasoned with.
Yes.
Now, one of the other things that makes them really interesting is that they can spawn more of their kind.
Yes.
Much like shadows, much like vampires, but these are much more nasty, in my opinion.
Oh, I don't know.
Because they just, well, not from like a murderous aspect, okay, but more of like a horror aspect, because they're just gnawing on you, brother.
Yeah. While you're alive and still thinking.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're like, I'm getting gnawed on while he's just rocking at my neck.
Yeah, because a shadow slaps you 3, 4, 5 good times. And
my strength is gone.
You're dead. Right?
I'm like, dead.
It's
become
awful,
a shadow.
But it's awful relatively quickly.
Correct.
It's not, hey, that thing is eating my calf and I can't do anything. Oh, yep, there went my wrist, right? Like, you literally just can't do anything about it. It's awful.
Those are my entrails.
Yep. That stings.
That's
terrible. Can't even scream.
Another interesting thing I found out is sometimes they can just pop up.
Yeah.
And then just, so necrotic energy, a really awesome party.
Yeah. The hedonistic bit.
Yeah. Right? Demon worship, any type of demon worship, really.
Starvation.
So any type of psychic trauma.
Yeah.
And spell mishaps.
Yeah.
So you might just be
wild surging on that necromancy spell.
Next thing you know,
oopsie,
you're gnawing on your apprentice's neck. Straight up ghouls.
Apprentices taste better.
That's true.
They do.
That's true. You know, they should make a janitor ghast. See, that would fit so well because it already stinks. All right. They also are especially horrible as a swarm. Pack mentality? Sure. You want to really go 28 days later in your D&D campaign, throw a bunch of ghouls at them, like a pack of ghouls.
Yeah, because they're full speed.
They're paralyzation.
And they are smart enough to swarm.
They are the fastest zombies.
Yeah, but smarter.
Now, what are some other interesting aspects about ghouls and gas?
If you play like we play, where intelligent creatures can develop class levels.
I thought you were going to say, if you play like we play with the intent to potentially murder the characters. Continue. I'm sorry.
No. But you should never approach any intelligent creature assuming you know what it's capable of. It is freaking intelligent. You do not know.
It's capable of anything.
Yeah. What if that ghast that wild surged his necromancer spell is still a freaking necromancer?
So you're saying
class levels. Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Class levels in that, brother. Make that funky necromancer a funkier necromancer.
What if, what if the person he hit with that necromantic spell was a barbarian? That's what the world needs.
A
ghoul barbarian?
Ghoul barbarian would be devastating.
Yeah. Slap you with one hand and then, reave you with that ginormous axe with the other one.
A ghast cleric.
Yep. And ghasts automatically provide advantage against turn checks.
Yes. So.
So bad days.
You can get some really, really nasty use out of ghouls and ghasts. And if they remember their abilities, if they remember their personalities from their life as well,
yeah,
they could use that to their benefit. So here's an example that I didn't write down, but I just thought of. Let's say the ghoul happens to be a forger.
Yeah.
And you need to get into the city. You need some papers of writ to get into the city, and you can't get in. There's for whatever reason, right, story-wise.
Yeah, we don't have a writ.
But you got this guy in the crypt just chilling. And he's like, well, it's going to cost you a pound of flesh, literally. And I'll forge some documents for you to get in.
No problem.
There you go.
So I got this whole bear in my bag of holding.
You want the whole bear, brother? Can we get a bonus discount for this?
Yeah, I'm not gonna get chintzy on you. 1 pound, man, that's barely a snack for you. I know how life is. Here's a bear.
Now, on all of this, one of the things that I find most fascinating, if they can take class abilities, if they're intelligent, if they can slake their hunger briefly, and it really depends on the source book. Sometimes they say it's all consuming and they can never do that.
Right.
But if you feed them enough, they may have time to plan and do other things.
Yeah. You could theoretically have a ghouls or a ghast, like a small settlement of them. If you're in, let's say they're hanging out in a graveyard that has existed for, I don't know, 1,000 years, so because it's right outside of a major metropolis.
So basically a necropolis of some sort.
Okay, you've got plenty of food if there are, say, 5 or 6 guests, right?
Yeah.
Man, they could make tools. They could carve bones and be scriveners or all sorts of stuff.
They'd be living pretty.
Yeah, because even if you can never satiate your hunger, you can only eat what you can eat, right? Like if you've got a thigh bone with a thigh on it in one hand, and you're just chewing away, that doesn't take a lot of brain power. Most of us can play a video game and snack on lunch at the same time, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So the same is theoretically true for them.
So you could have some really interesting characters or interesting stories based off of gas or ghouls that did more than just have them bolt straight for the player characters.
Sure.
You can have them plan. You can form some societies. Even I could see like a ghoul crime lord would be kind of cool, or a ghast, you know, cleric of some kind of cult.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun. Hell, throw them into intrigue. What if the, maybe the vizier for the local ruler happens to be a ghoul and also an assassin?
Sure.
Yeah. Maybe he's the problem solver, right?
Right.
King's got a problem. Man, this, can't get rid of this noble. He's pissing me off.
He's a cleanup man.
He's a cleanup man. Where's the body? Who knows? In his belly. It's gone.
Delicious. Right?
Yeah, it's a great way to hide the body. What if you, oh man, a serial murderer is running rampant in a town.
Yeah, people just keep disappearing.
People just keep disappearing. And it's because the serial murderer, they can't prove anything because the serial murderer is giving the bodies to the ghoul.
Yeah.
To eat. So there's no evidence.
You could even get like really weird with that and say it's that person's husband or wife was turned into a ghoul or ghast.
And he's murdering to keep her sated or him sated. Hell yeah. That would be some dark stuff. So this is what we're talking about, how we can make this stuff interesting. All right. Now, we would be remiss if we did not include ways to make them even more dangerous and deadly.
Sure.
So here are some things that we thought about to upgrade your ghoul or ghast.
Step one, obviously, give them tactics.
Yeah, just make them smarter. So come up with ways to make them tactically efficient in combat. So instead of having them go straight for the characters, we talked about, you know, slinking around, using traps. Hell, using soften them up with spells.
Ranged weapons.
Yeah, arrows and stuff. Shoot some arrows at them, right?
Chuck a spear.
Just like Skyrim, you know. Ventures can't do much after they take an arrow to the knee. We can make them stronger as well. And this is tinkering a little bit with the mechanics of how ghouls are. So if you want to up the CR of these guys, maybe, here's a couple of examples. Maybe if they eat the dead, they get more powerful, either by like physically stronger or some kind of special ability, right?
What if they start taking on traits of the things that they snack on?
There was a doppelganger that, I don't know if it's 3.5 or not, that did something like that, where then they ate, it's either a doppelganger, or no, it was a demon, that when they ate.
The Barghest.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's a Barghest and there was something else, but when they ate the dead, they would gain abilities from that dead creature. That was, I always thought that was very fascinating. Yeah, so you could make them particularly nasty with stuff like that. Of course, super strength is just as good, you know, but you could also do something like, yeah, you class abilities.
Have them, somebody murdered an angel nearby and they're immune to radiant damage.
Ooh.
Zoinks. Rut-row.
You could have them eat not just humans, but also, what if they got particular abilities from animals they caught? So if you fed them that bear that's in your portable hole, what if they started turning into, like, they look like a freaking bear?
Or they're stronger next time you come across them, or, yeah.
Damage resistance or something like that.
Yeah, they like I said, just have them start taking on the characteristics of what it is they've been eating.
They had this this uncontrollable urge to say, only you can prevent forest fires.
Sure, sure. It could happen.
Yeah. All right. So we talked about making them stronger, giving them tactics. We talked about class levels.
Yes.
And that is probably a solid way to make a ghoul or a ghast. I mean, any undead, give them class levels if they're intelligent. Vampire spellcasters are just disgustingly nasty.
I mean, spellcasters in general.
In general are disgustingly nasty. To that end, ghast or ghoul clerics?
Yes.
Or wizards are nasty.
And it's not like they literally have nothing but time to create new spells.
Correct. Because what else are they doing? They're going to eat something, and then that's about it.
Oh, that could actually also explain why some of the other ghasts are a little screwed up, right? Because if you don't have a whole library of information and you're literally just tinkering with the laws of reality, something nearby is going to pay the price for that.
Mm-hmm. I could easily see a anti-paladin Ghast.
Sure. Just a chaotic evil.
Yeah, like a path of consumption.
Yeah.
We should write that up.
Sure.
We'll put that on the website. That'd be pretty awesome. You could also upgrade their existing abilities in ways that maybe the players won't suspect. And this is something I find enjoyable, not because I enjoy killing my characters, but I do sometimes, but also because throw them through a surprise.
Yeah. Some people have played for a very long time, and
the potential to metagame is high.
Or even if you've played in 5e for long enough, your character has probably come across bog standard Ghasts
sure.
multiple times. And so if they see a Ghast, their first thought is going to be, okay, you deal with this XYZ.
Much like you build better traps, you should build better monsters.
Yes.
So here's a couple examples. First off, they have paralyzation, so let's make it more stronger.
Sure. So it's harder to resist or it lasts a little longer.
Higher DC or, longer lasting. One thing I came up with is the paralyzation could spread through contact with others. So I get paralyzed. You come to help me. You lay on hand. Now you're paralyzed.
Right. And it's more like a disease.
Yeah, it's like a disease or a virus that just spreads. And you could have it say it spreads maybe with contact two or three people so you don't get killed, wipe the whole party. But
well, and the other thing about that, like the pally does the lay on hands to cure the disease. Okay, cool. The person he cured is cured, but now he's diseased, unless he's high enough level that he's immune to disease.
Correct.
You probably want a pally in your party.
Or it could even just be through direct touch, right? Yeah. So maybe he gets a direct touch. He gets hit with the paralyzation, he falls and hits the warrior, now the warrior's paralyzed, but if someone touches the warrior, maybe the warrior's not paralyzed, because it's only through direct contact with the original patient zero.
Sure.
So you could play around with that mechanically and have some fun with that.
Or just make his, if it's a Ghast, have his stench be a paralyzation stench and turn it into a range fight.
That would be nasty. I didn't think about paralyzation stench. That would be really cool. More virulent ghoul fever.
Sure.
And so I was going on the 28 days later mentality or, Dawn of the Dead, where if you get bit, you just turn into a ghoul.
Right. Like just straight up.
Magical disease as opposed to a natural disease.
Right.
And that is kind of like how mummy rot, you're pretty much screwed unless you have a remove curse.
Sure. Lycanthropy.
Or lycanthropy is another good example of that. Yeah. So maybe if you get bit by a ghoul, you're going to be a ghoul by the end of the night. Maybe quicker if you die.
Sure.
And it could also be one of those things where if you get cut or somehow before you become a ghoul, now that person's going to be a ghoul too. You could even ramp it up if you really want to be deadly and have some kind of, as soon as they get bit, 10 rounds later, they're ghouls.
Right.
So that it can get particularly devastating depending upon what kind of nasty game you want to run.
Yeah, run, make your con checks, boys and girls.
Yeah, it's going to get ugly. And finally, and you mentioned this with the paralyzation stench.
Yep.
I came up with a poisonous stench.
Sure.
So make it more
deals
like
poison damage.
Like cloud kill, basically. Yeah. Or acidic.
Just melt the flesh right off of your
bones. Yeah, just.
Oh, can you imagine how angry that ghoul would be? Or that Ghast would be?
That Ghast would be pissed because everything's liquefied.
Exactly. He would never get to eat. Oh my God. That thing. Now, him, I would not allow to have class levels.
Because
he would never get to fill his belly long enough to think about anything else. He's going to throw himself at a black dragon just so he's got something to snack on.
That's a good point. Okay. What are some other ways we can upgrade a ghoul?
Well, we've discussed it before. Throw in some of the planes, man.
Oh, yeah. Always a favorite. So here's a couple that I came up with. Incorporealness.
Sure.
Plane of shadow. And that works great for either ghouls or ghasts.
Right.
Maybe you just smell something and then all of a sudden he strikes.
Abyssal ghouls.
Oh, yeah. Which exists already.
Yeah.
But the abyss is always fun. Infernal ghouls would be fun as well.
Sure.
More plotting. or an infernal ghast would make a lot of sense. Maybe the smell is brimstone.
Could be. That makes sense. One of my favorite ones, elementals.
I'm always a fan of elemental planes.
So my theory on this one was this. If Grues exist, which are elementals that were tainted by the negative plane, then undead that are on the edge of the elemental plane should be able to be tainted by those elements, right? Because if it goes one direction, it ought to be able to go both directions.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, man, maybe that stench he's got isn't a stench at all. It's the smell of ozone because it's literally a static discharge field, and he's just got a field of lightning around him.
Oh, he doesn't paralyze. He just shocks you to death.
Yep.
Roasts you. And then he gnaws on your corpse. I love that. Yeah, so hopefully some of these are very simple, easy to build on.
Concepts.
Concepts, templates that you can build and increase your ghoul or ghast.
Next up, though, story possibilities.
And this is what I would consider to be most important, because none of this is good without a great story.
Sure. Because.
Period.
Yeah. Because monsters are pointless if they just exist to get stabbed in the face.
That is true.
Unless it's a random encounter. I am not against random encounters. Okay. But story-wise, we've got a group of ghouls that are led by a ghast that are hiding in the abandoned parts of a city.
I love this. Yeah. This is
kidnap and eat ring.
This is great for a large city campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You could do this in Sigil.
You could
do this in Ravnica.
You could do it in Waterdeep.
Waterdeep, yeah. You could totally do this in Waterdeep. You could even do this any of the large cities in Forgotten Realms or Eberron.
Suzale or Sharn.
Sharn would be great. In the Cogs in Sharn.
Yeah.
That'd be dope. A ghoul is the local city's undertaker and has been hiding his form through magic.
Sure.
I have to admit, I got this from iZombie.
Right.
It's because she's a coroner and she's a zombie.
Right.
But how cool would it be to be the Undertaker? And it's just it doesn't matter if it's a fantasy campaign or not. This, you could do this for Shadowrun too.
Sure.
They have ghouls in Shadowrun too. We forgot about that.
They do.
But they once again, eat flesh.
Yeah. Now, the cool thing about that, when you think about it, is let's say your Undertaker is a ghoul.
Okay.
Because the creatures brought to them are already dead.
Yes.
And because they eat them entirely, you will never have an undead problem in your town.
Yeah, so long as you have one undead.
Because there will be nothing to turn into an undead.
I like the idea also of a forensic pathologist being a ghoul or a ghast.
Sure.
Just because I want to see him on the scene with some shades, and he'd be like, looks like it tastes like murder. Guitar music.
Sure, man. That requires a very specific game, but I'm for it.
I could do that in a fantasy game. That'd still be great. The big bad evil guy is a ghast wizard or cleric.
Sure.
How easy would that be to set up?
Yeah.
Running a cult? Sure. Got a bunch of other ghouls? No problem. Controlling them? We don't care about that. He's just making them, right? He's causing chaos. He's got, or maybe has an agenda.
Or maybe your wizard, his hunger was for power.
Yeah.
And he died of old age, but the hunger got him.
All right, so what if it's not just the eaters of flesh? What if it's the eaters of magic? Now you've got a magic-eating ghoul.
Okay.
I'm not saying he wouldn't gnaw on a dead wizard.
Right.
I'm just saying
he would prefer a dead wizard.
Well, let's say you cast a fireball at his ass, and now he just sucks it up. Right, yeah. There's no reason to say that you couldn't do something like that.
Sure. And do what you want. You're in charge.
I could see a gas that radiates an anti-magic field.
Oh, that'd be
instead of a stench, that would be destructive.
Actually, your fighter would love you forever for making that gas.
Because, yeah.
because he becomes, your fighter, barbarian, what have you, becomes immediately the most useful member of the party.
Unless they have magic items.
Even if they've got magic items.
They can still whack.
They can still murder it.
Still whack it to death. I love this idea. I want you to say this. This is great. So a plot twist.
Yes, indeed. The Ghast is a necromancer,
mm-hmm.
but he's been dealing, or she, has been dealing with the town's undead problem.
Yes.
Not creating it. But they can't figure out where it's coming from, and the problem is getting worse.
So they could potentially blame the Ghast if they find out there's a Ghast in town, and the Ghast would be like, no, it's not me. I'm eating all the undead.
Right. I'm eating as fast as I can.
I'm doing what I can.
Can I get some help here?
Yeah. Make it be a quote unquote good creature, right? Not necessarily good. Well, you could.
Yeah.
But you could even make it neutral. I'm performing a service here.
Yep.
And I am not the one that is creating this proliferation of undead. It even could be, and here's something I thought about, is what about a turf war where you've got a pack of ghouls and all of a sudden there's another pack of ghouls that have moved into a town and now you've got ghoul on ghoul action because, don't read it that way. How dare you? You know, you've got two tribes of ghouls that are going after each other because there's a limited food supply, right? The town. And if you got two packs of ghouls, then heroes are going to start cropping up. They won't be able to steal bodies as easily.
Yeah. You want to keep a low profile, man. We're just here to eat.
Just talking about some hot ghoul on ghoul action.
All right. That's enough of that.
Oh, so, that's awful.
You came up with the next one. So I hadn't thought of this. I think it's a good idea. Hit me with it.
The Ghast Paladin of Tyranny.
Yes.
I think I should change this. Instead of tyranny, I think it would be consumption, like I mentioned earlier.
Sure.
But
tyranny also works.
Yeah. All will succumb to the hunger.
Yeah, man. Just, there you go.
Make everybody hungry.
Yep. The last one was one I came up with that I also like the concept of. It's a monk
mm-hmm.
that died of starvation while fasting, right? And he's using the training that he was attempting to develop to resist the hunger. But they think they were cursed because they failed to master their own body.
So he's basically blaming himself for his lack of mastery, self-mastery, doesn't realize he's undead. And I think it would be cool if it was an entire set of monks. And so some of them who maybe are not as steadfast as this particular monk might start going off the deep end, just start ripping into people. And the monk might, this would be a great story starter where the monk comes to you and needs some help. Our monastery is suffering. There's some kind of terrible curse undergoing the monastery. And some of them are raving packs of ghouls. They got them, like, literally raving packs of ghouls. They got them locked up in a room or something like that.
Right.
And then it comes a hard decision. Do you tell the monk that he too is a ghoul or a ghast? Do you try to save them somehow? Or do you just put them all to the sword?
I don't know. I think maybe the ones that succeed, you leave be. You hang out for a while just to check and make sure that, like, this isn't something they're slipping into. But if they've actually mastered the hunger, man, who doesn't need a undead monastery that owes them a favor?
Sure.
I do. I need an undead ghoul monastery that owes me a favor.
Way of the Dead Fist. That's how that, sure. that would be, man, be a badass monk. And basically immune to pain. They hit you, you're paralyzed.
Yeah, man. Dim Mac.
Yeah, hell
way
yeah.
back.
Badass.
That'd be great.
So these are just a couple of examples that we've come up with to help your campaign upgrade ghouls and ghasts and really just rock hard with those monsters.
Yeah. And end of the day, remember, you don't have to give them special toys or anything else. You just have to remember they're intelligent.
Yep.
More stuff can be more fun, but they're just not dumb.
Yeah. You don't have to overpower them, but play them right.
Yep.
Is there anything that we potentially missed or you would like to see us talk about? Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, Eric@goblinscorner.com, or
me, Matt@goblinscorner.com.
And of course, we have all of the things
that we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on
Facebook.
My brain went real sideways for a second there. I just had to.
Staring straight at him, making him list the rest of these off.
I mean, we've got a website.
Pinterest.
Obviously. Pinterest.
Mm-hmm. And we're on.
Have we actually used the Pinterest page?
I post.
I have not.
I post it.
Right.
Yeah. And we're on Twitch.
And that's because I haven't made anything. See, when I start making things is when I'll start using the picture portion of our profile. But because I have not begun my journey into Goblin Crafts, which will be coming soon.
That's right. You're going to be making booze.
Yes.
I can't wait for that. Goddamn. I can't wait for that.
I already have a drink that I want to make called Liquid Inspiration.
Mm.
You know what the base of it is? Coffee. Of course it is, because it's liquid inspiration.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
All right. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Have a good night. In a world where the Goblin's Corner is by Matt Staples
and Eric Holden, show song by the mighty D20.
This has been a Subterranean production.
Coming soon.